I want to read scripture this morning, and the passage of scripture that I'm going to be reading is from the book of Luke, the 16th chapter, and I'm going to begin with verse 1. This is a parable that Jesus told. There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their homes." So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Jesus says, "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant," Jesus said, "can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The word of God for the people of God. I've got to be honest this morning. Sometimes, after I've read that text, or read a text from Scripture, and I say to the folks, to y'all, "The word of God for the people of God," and the response comes back, "Thanks be to God." Sometimes I think, really? And the title that I've given my exposition of this text today is "Laundering Money for God." Now, laundering money is putting dirty money, money obtained illegally or dishonestly, to work by circulating it through legitimate channels. Have any of y'all heard of this? There's a TV show, I'm told. It's filmed here, or it was filmed in New Mexico. It's not being shown anymore. Well, it's being shown, but it's no longer being filmed. It's been, what do they call that when a TV show is not being made anymore, but it's been canceled, right? But it's still, you can still watch it. So I've heard. Breaking Bad. And the main character, I've been told, is a guy by the name of Walter Scott. And Walter Scott has this car wash. Anybody know what he uses the car wash for? That's right. He uses his car wash to clean his drug money. You say, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with the text today? What does that have to do with this parable that Jesus told? Well, the parable, listen to me, the parable is about putting dirty money to good use. Now, in the New International Version of the Scripture, which I just read from as we read the Bible together, worldly wealth is a term that's used when Jesus talks about money here or about wealth. But if you go to the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, they translate it not as worldly wealth, but as dishonest wealth. Isn't that interesting? Seems like the translators of the NIV were a little more politically correct, weren't they? The King James Version calls it unrighteous mammon. Other places, filthy lucre is a term used to describe what Jesus is talking about here. Now, when he talks about dishonest wealth, when he talks about unrighteous mammon, when he talks about filthy lucre, anybody ever heard that term before? Yeah. Is he talking about all money or just some money? Really, he's talking about wealth. Mammon is an interesting word that's used here. It is a personalization of wealth and money. He gives stuff that we spend, that we depend on, that we value in this world, he gives it a personality. And it is not a good personality. It is a pretender god. That's really how he describes wealth here, as being a pretender god. In the book of Matthew, I believe chapter 4, there's a story of Jesus going into the wilderness to fast for 40 days. Are y'all familiar with that story? And it says that the devil came to him and he tempted him. And one of the things that the devil tempted Jesus with was what? Worldly wealth. And he said to Jesus, he said, if you will fall down and worship me, what? I'll give you all of this. And how did Jesus respond? Jesus said, no, get away from me. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only should you serve. Now I asked the question, I said, when Jesus talks about this mammon, this unrighteous or this dishonest wealth, is he talking about all money, all wealth? And what I've written down here in my notes, and these are good notes, by the way. All wealth has the potential for corrupting us. Do you believe that? All wealth has the potential for corrupting us, controlling us, and ruining us. It seems it carries an element of toxicity. Or maybe we bring our own toxicity to the wealth. What do you think? The parable, I said, through my title, I said the parable is about laundering money for God. Really, it is about allowing God to redeem money. It's about allowing God to redeem wealth. Truly, it's about allowing God to redeem us. How does that work? Well, first, let me just be as honest with you as I can be. I'd rather not think about it. I'd rather not think about the violence, the suffering, and the oppression that is associated with a cup of coffee that I enjoyed this morning. I would rather not think about the injustice that is associated with the chocolate that I enjoy. You said, you have really quit preaching and gone to meddling now. Ladies, can I get an amen? Amen? Yes. I'd rather not think about injustice, violence, blood being associated with the price I pay for my shoes or the gas I put in my automobile or the money in my bank account or the performance of my 401k. But Jesus calls us in Luke's gospel to think about it. Don't you hate that? The gospel, I said this a few weeks ago, allows us to leave no stone in our lives unturned. It touches every area of our lives. Somebody asked me one time, they said, "Do you ever preach on social issues when you preach?" I responded very carefully. And I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "But I preach on social issues very carefully." Why would I preach on social issues carefully? Because none of this is stuff that we really want to think about. I don't want to think about it. It's all stuff that's really difficult. It's all stuff that's not only challenging, but it's stuff that really makes us uncomfortable. And a lot of it is stuff that we feel like we don't have any power over at all. But the gospel of Jesus, calls us to think about it. Jesus calls us to think about it. Let's cut to the chase. Redeeming wealth, redeeming money, will mean that we will choose to do what Jesus did in the wilderness. We will choose to believe in God instead of believing in money. How about that? Now, I can get amens for that one, right? Well, sure, we can say amen to that. It means we will serve God and not wealth. And we will put money to work serving God. We will put wealth to work serving God. That's what it means to redeem wealth. Not only to redeem wealth, but to redeem what else? Ourselves. Exactly. Now in Luke, Jesus tells some other parables. He gives some examples of people who believed in and served money. We're familiar with them. Remember the rich man with the barns? How many of y'all remember that guy? He went to bed one night and he was thinking about all of his wealth. And he realized, I've got so much stuff, I don't have any place to put it. Can anybody here identify with that? He said, "I'm going to get me some big old storage units. That's what I'm going to do." Well, actually, Jesus said, he said, "I'm going to build bigger barns so I can have room for all my wealth." What did Jesus say God thought about his plans? Do you remember? He said, well, it's not very politically correct, but God said, "You what?" What did he call him? "You fool." Okay, in case you missed that, it's F-O-O-L. "You fool. Tonight, you're going to die. Then what you're going to worry about, you got to do with all the stuff that you can't put someplace. Tonight, your soul shall be required of you." Oh, then there's another one Jesus told. It's about this other rich man. Jesus talked a lot about rich people. And there was a beggar who was laid outside this rich man's gate. Anybody remember what his name was? Lazarus. And he begged for whatever people would give him, and he had nothing. He had sores all over his body. He couldn't afford a good doctor like our doctor who's here this morning. Who ministered to Lazarus? Do you remember? The dogs came and licked his sores. I wonder sometimes if that rich man passed him on a daily basis. Oh, by the way, when the rich man died, where did he find himself? Where? Bad place. Now that's politically correct, Rusty.
Thank you. Hell. He died and went to hell. Lazarus, on the other hand, the angels came and they carried him into Abraham's bosom. I used to preach on this rich man and Lazarus text in revival meetings. Any of y'all been to a revival meeting? Down in southwestern Virginia, I used to preach some of these revivals. And I remember I preached, and I was trying to keep people out of hell. I really was. I mean, this is when I was a young preacher, and I was a fireball. I really was. Can you believe that? I was. And after I preached one night, I mean, it was a great service. I thought it was a great service anyway. But I remember the preacher came to me. He said, man, he said, that was strong preaching. He said, you took the paint off the walls tonight. But you know, we sometimes focus on not going to hell when we die. But I wonder sometimes if the choices we make in this world, if we don't turn our lives here into hell because of choices we make. Come on. Now, these two parables are contrasted with another parable that Jesus also told in Luke about another rich man who valued his son over the wealth that son squandered. What's that parable? Help me. The story of the prodigal son. The point is, when we value wealth and ease over people, we cut our noses off to spite our faces. Redeeming wealth, redeeming ourselves so that our wealth is well used, and so that our lives are good lives, and so that we are blessed as well as others being blessed, means that we learn to use wealth to bless and to make friends. I wonder, sometimes as I listen to the news, and I hear about what's happening on our southern border, are we creating enemies for tomorrow? Are we on our southern borders breeding tomorrow's terrorists because of the choices we're making today? I think, as I work with veterans, and I have over the years, and I'm a veteran, never saw combat, but I'm a veteran. And I've worked with veterans, and I've worked with men in uniform. I worked at Cannon Air Force Base with Special Forces as a counselor, as a therapist. And when I think about how we send them, these young men and these young women, into awful, awful stuff, and they come back, they return changed, and we turn away from them. And then we wonder, what's wrong with them? Why is the suicide rate so high? Why is domestic violence among them like it is? Why are they on the streets, homeless, with their hands out, muttering to themselves? We have neighbors who live around us, who are Native Americans. That brings it closer to home. As if the veterans should not be close at home, too, for us. And I got to tell you, we will never be able to build enough walls to protect us from the hell that we are stoking. What can I do? Somebody's got to be saying that. Come on. What can I do? Come on, preacher. What do you expect from us? From me? What can I do? James tells about those who look at their neighbor and they see them in the situation they're in, and we say, oh, poor thing. Oh, I know what we say down south where I'm from. Rusty, we say, bless his heart. You know what that means, don't you? Ain't gonna do nothing. That's what that means. What did James say about that? He said, you can claim you've got faith if you want to and live like that, but he said, faith without works is what? Dead. What can I do? Can do what we did a few weeks ago. It's something. We sent underwear down there, didn't we, Jim? To the border. Little children who don't have underwear. Young girls who for the first time are going through their menstrual cycles and they don't have anything. Now you say, well, you're just quoting the fake news now. Well, I don't care what you think about the fake news. It doesn't make a difference to me one way or the other. What I care about is what Jesus was teaching about here. And yeah, I do preach about social issues. I want to be careful about it because I understand there's some politics that gets involved in this and there's spin that takes place. I know that. But what matters to me and what should matter to you is, what does the gospel teach? What does Jesus say? What is this parable really about? It's a hard parable. It's one of the hard sayings of Jesus. We can sit with the alien in the courtroom. We can speak out. We can use what we have to bless rather than to curse or to create new enemies. And Jesus is saying, use your wealth to bless. Use your wealth so that you're not creating hell for yourselves, but rather you're creating heaven in this dark, dirty, difficult world. I could preach for a long time, but if I kept doing this, I might really get in trouble. But instead, what I'd like to do is read to you in closing from the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew chapter 25. The words of Jesus. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. I was a refugee. I was an alien. And you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you?
When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the, what? Least of these brothers of mine, who did you do it for? You did it for me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed. And who cursed them? They cursed themselves. Into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. They will go away to burn in the hell that they have made for themselves. But those who hear the parable that Jesus told, that I just read to you from Luke chapter 16, they will learn to redeem the wealth. They will find the kingdom of God. In the name of Christ, may you go celebrating your redemption and spreading it everywhere. Amen.